Welcome everyone to episode 34. There is no Irish puns with this one, but I'll tell you what there is, and that is a quarter of the way through the AFL football season. Who'd have thought?
Is it already quarter?
Well, 6, 12, 18. I think it's 24 rounds, right?
Yeah, no, you're right. Fucking hell, that's flying.
Quick math, mate. And as always, I will start this quarter of a season episode with a special allogram. Which, what do you prefer, the name? Allogram or AFLogram?
Nah, allogram, because it's yours, mate.
Thanks, mate. I wanted just to hear that come out of your voice. This week, as I focus on a player that has been in the news a bit recently, I'm going to give you it, and it is Ear Hid Rely. E-A-R-H-I-D-R-E-L-Y. Grab your pens, write that one down, and get back to us. Let me know if I should do bingo.
All right, mate, let's get stuck into the AFL Round 6 review.
It doesn't get any better than that, champion. I'll tell you what, get a big dog up your Collingwood. You fucking deserve it.
Let's do it.
What do you got for us, champion?
Well, what were the games, mate? Talk me through the
games.
Wait,
Start with the games, or should we start with a bit of unfortunate news?
Go on, mate. We love starting on a bad note.
We're starting a bad note. Hopefully, we'll progress from there. But it is very unfortunate always to hear when players sadly have to end their career way too prematurely. And that was the case for Nathan Murphy, the premiership-winning defender for the Collingwood Magpies, who has had to retire due to, again, this has been a big thing, but concussion issues.
Yeah, it's not the first of its kind to happen this year, is it? And I think he's actually a massive loss because he was really pivotal in their run to the premiership last year. Really, I don't know, came out and made a name for himself, I think, as a...
Yeah.
What would you call him? Like, is he an intercept mark sort of player?
I'd say he's more of a one-on-one type defender. Key defender, yeah.
They're not easy to replace, those sort of blokes, but I'm glad that he's stepped away from the game and put himself and his health before continuing to play. So, and I think Toby Green came out on an AFL 360 last week and said he probably hid around 5 concussions earlier in his career. So,
yeah,
shows
and
how far the game's come.
Credit to Toby for coming out and being honest about that.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, like you said, it just shows where we are at with concussions, and you know, I think it's good that players are actually starting to be concerned for their health and safety with it. I think they're starting to understand how detrimental it is to the longevity of not just their careers but their lives. So,
absolutely. And he seemed quite chippy in his. Like leaving, sort of. I know they give like a little speech, and he was. I don't know. He seems like he's got a good sense of humor. So,
yeah, and I think he understands. Obviously, he's made the decision knowing it's not worth his, you know, health. You know, and he's experiencing. And we've spoken about it with Seedsman, but he's experiencing, you know, symptoms every day that are affecting him. So,
yeah.
Hopefully, he can. He can. Have a healthy life and correct those symptoms.
And great that I saw Collingwood had renewed his contract before the start of this season, so he will get paid for this year at least.
Yeah,
which
great.
Is a very nice thing to have to fall back on, obviously, knowing that the rest of your career you're not going to be playing AFL. So nice to take the financial incentive out of it a bit.
Yeah, absolutely. So, good luck to you, Nathan. Well done for having the courage to do that. Awesome.
There was another piece of information which I've just thought of. It's probably a bit, we're not exactly current affair at the moment, but did you see the Finlayson Wife's podcast stuff?
I did. I remember seeing that pop up. Is that him about what he said and him being a bit dismissive about it?
Yeah, well, he was sort of, apparently on this podcast they do like, something they're happy about, something they're sad about, something they're disappointed in, or something like that. And he said he's disappointed he got banned for 3 weeks. And obviously, like everything, you need context, but just making those comments on a, you know, a public sort of outlet that people can hear after you've made an apology, it's never going to sound good.
No. Yeah, it sounds like he's sort of retracted.
Yeah.
And it's like he's attracted his accountability by saying that. But also, I can understand why you'd just be disappointed in general. Like, if you're an AFL footballer, you want to play.
Yeah.
But surely you should understand, you know, why you're serving that ban. I don't know. Just
if he meant it in the way it sounds, fucking absolute shit. Like, what a dickhead. After, like, because it just makes you think, oh, all that stuff that you said, which people already doubt the truth and validity of the comments you make when you do these press statements. But that does just retract all that if it's, yeah, said in the way that it sounded.
Yeah, it's not a good look. And I definitely spoke in favor of what he did. So, yeah, seeing that has, has.
Are you still an ally of Finlayson with that in mind?
I still, yeah, I don't think it takes away from me supporting what he did on the game day, but I definitely don't support those comments, that's for sure.
Yeah, so you supported what he did on game day, hey, with the
I supported the way he went about it afterwards.
No, we heard you the first time, mate. Terrible.
All right, round six. what
it
was the Thursday?
Off with a not bang. with St Kilda v Bulldogs, Saints home game against an undermanned Bulldogs missing Libba. Obviously kept out with the concussion protocols.
No Libba, no whack and furries, mate.
No, sporting a new little, the camera panned to him a few times and he was sporting a cheeky shaved head, Libba. So,
yeah, right.
Yeah, want to look forward to that. But Bulldogs demolished him.
Absolutely ran riot. And I did not see this coming, mate.
This is a tough thing with Bulldogs because they can look so good one week and then just be shite the next.
Yeah,
like, it's almost easier being a Crows fan because you just know they're going to be shy.
All right, mate, let's save that. Yeah.
Sorry, yeah, I was getting
Let's talk about Bulldogs and Saints.
But yeah, Bulldogs 19-10, 124 points scored against 64 scored by Saints, which was 9-10. So, yeah, well and truly thumped them.
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, was not expecting that. I tip Saints. I thought they were going to win this game. But yeah, like you said, Bulldogs have this in them. It's just when they decide to show up. And
they like playing under the roof at Marvel too, which thank God there was a roof because it was pissing
who
down.
Who doesn't like a roof? Get him on. Oh,
I'll tell you
mate.
Who'd be campaigning for on Brisbane when we get into that game, mate. Because, yeah.
If you listen to our Tuesday episode, our Isaac rankings, I've just thought about my number one. That roofs would be my number one.
Yeah, roofs would be handy in any shelter.
Every stadium, get them on. Let's look at the bit of the stats. Bailey Dale had a fucking massive game, 39
field
touches.
Day. After being the sub the week before, he was making sure he wasn't going to get that again. And I think I checked earlier, his efficiency from 39 touches, 92%.
He was amazing.
And he's a forward-thinking player too. He doesn't just chip it side to side. So.
Well, no, and that shows in his meters gained, 867 meters gained.
Wow, that is an elite game.
That's an impactful game.
Norton kicked six with Jamara's absence. That's massive. People have been doubting him. Is he going to play? He's a key back. Well, yeah, he proved them.
Yeah, it was good to see
and
him
Cody
pull his finger
out. Cody kicked three in about a minute.
Yeah, absolutely.
He was terrific. But yeah, big
Waitman.
Question marks. Yeah, Waitman.
Big question marks on who, Saints?
On Ross the Boss. He's not taking his opportunity.
Yeah, Saints have been a little bit hit and miss again this year. I, like I said again, where I don't think they're expected to lose that game, especially by not that much. Nah, so
they were,
I don't know.
It's disappointing.
I don't think they're in trouble, though. I think they'll bounce back next week. I think they just had an off game.
Big call. Save it for tips, mate. And speaking of disappointing, lackluster, underwhelming, and going in as favourites and losing, let's get into it, mate. Crows v Essendon.
I don't know what you want me to say, to be honest.
I don't want you to say anything. I just want some honesty. I want you to put it all out on the table in front of us.
This was the first game of the year where I was genuinely deflated after one of our games. I was genuinely really upset.
Oh, they put the pin in him.
Yeah, it wasn't good. I honestly thought last week would be just an absolute shift for us. We would, you know, get rolling into this game and then the next game against Kangaroos and potentially be 3-4 and salvaging our season. But we were fucking shit. We were not good.
Yeah, I like the honesty, mate, because I don't think you could say it any other way. I think you were absolutely obliterated first half and very lucky to be in the game at halftime.
Very, very lucky. And obviously, we'll get to that incident that happened at the end of the game, but Bombers were really fucking good.
Yeah, Bombers, just to recap the score, they beat Adelaide 78-75. They kicked 10 goals, 18, to Adelaide's 11 goals, 9.
And that's what kept it from being a 60-plus point game, is that Essendon were horrible in front of goal. But yeah, they deserved winners, killed us around the loose ball. They're very impressive. When the ball is at ground level to be contested, Essendon find a way to get so many numbers around the ball, and that's what killed us. We just didn't have any representation around those loose balls, and that's what killed us.
Their pressure was really good, Essendon, great signs if you're a Bombers fan, because they actually continued exactly the same way they played last week against the Dogs. And that's often the thing that with Essendon, you go, they just don't do that. They don't continue and build momentum. So if they can continue playing like this, they're a genuine threat to people and they could well make the eight.
Yeah, 100%. They play a brand of footy that can beat anyone.
And their list is not bad. Like, they've got a very strong list.
Very functional list now. I think they did really well in the off season. You know, they really stabilized both ends of the ground for them. So yeah. They played really well, like I said. One positive for us is, and what we struggled with at the start of the year was our kicking efficiency. That's what really kept us in the game and what gave us a chance really to win, is that we were really efficient, which was good to see. But yeah.
Where are you weakest at the moment, would you say?
Well, up until that game, that was where we needed to lift. But which is the frustrating thing is that we did well in that regard, but then all the things we've been good at all year just went out the window this game.
Yeah.
And look, credit to Essendon. It was a lot to do with the way they played, but I think we just looked like we got a bit complacent, like that we were just going to show up and get the job done at home.
You would think like Dawson probably had his best game this season.
That was good to see.
Saligo
Dawson
up there. Like, yeah, it's weird that you didn't really get it over the line and you didn't even look close at times.
Yeah. Well, we did though. That's the funny thing. In the third quarter, we kicked 5-6 goals unanswered and we were up by 4 goals.
Yeah.
So at that point, I was thinking, oh, we're going to cruise this game. And even then, I was like, we don't deserve to be in front this much, but we might just jag a win. And that's what good teams do anyway. When they get those opportunities, they find a way to win. But we didn't. We let Essendon come back. And then we'll go into what happened at the end of the game. It's been news all week. Despite us not deserving to win, we had the opportunity to win in...
Right at the end of the game.
Yeah, we should have had the opportunity to win right at the end of the game. And that is, again, heartbreaking. And I think I speak for all Adelaide fans when I say, when's this shit going to stop? Honestly. When is this shit?
Give it to them, mate.
It's genuinely been 4 times in the last year where the AFL has come out after a game and said, yeah, that should have been a free kick for the Crows. Or no. that should have been a goal.
Do you right in front of me?
The Crows are robbed. Right in front of me. But genuinely,
it was a bit like that though, wasn't it?
Genuinely, like, and it is interesting because you look back at the game and there were so many other opportunities where we could have won, or, you know, where we shouldn't have conceded goals. But that doesn't matter. I hate when people look at it like that. The fact of the matter is, for whatever reason, we were still in the game and we should have got a free kick at the end. Sam Draper dove on the ball.
Yeah.
Kept it under him. It was a free kick. Taylor Walker would have won the free kick. And with his kicking, you probably think, yeah, he's won the game for us. And like I said, I'm sick of hearing like, oh, but Rochelle shouldn't have dropped that mark and they should have done this, they should have done that. It doesn't matter. Like, it was still the score at that time. And then they're saying, and the other argument I hate is when it's like, oh, but, you know, umpires aren't going to make that call in those at that time of the game. Why not? A rule's a rule.
Rule's a rule. It shouldn't be decided by what time of the game happens. I agree.
Why can't umpires have the guts to make that call if it is a free kick? I don't want to boil up and talk about it too much, but it disappointed me. Another opportunity we had to win a game, and that's essentially 16, almost 20 points that we've been robbed.
Finals a chance this year?
Nah, Gonski's. Gonski's. We have
Max gone.
How many games left?
A lot. Like 18.
Is there?
I mean, there's 18 rounds left.
Yeah, okay. We might have a bye. So there's about 17 games left. We've won one game.
Mm-hmm.
We have to win 10 of those games. 11 of those games probably to make finals.
It wasn't nice seeing Michele drop those marks, was it? I really struggle to.
I still don't really understand what's going on. A lot of people are saying he was scared of contact.
No, it's not nice. Yeah, I hate seeing a bloke that's an absolute fucking muppet just go through that.
I hate your criticism.
Brought a tear to my eye seeing that because I fucking love it. I love seeing him fumble the bag at opportune times because you know what, mate? That's karma. You want to be a flog against the Giants? That's what happens, son.
I'm Carmen.
Come in.
Anyway, let's move on from this. I can't wait for what's going to be a fucking ripping game between the Kangaroos and us next week.
Yeah, fucking battle of the bottles down there. into Collingwood, Port Adelaide, which was the Saturday mid-afternoon game. Didn't watch much of it, but God, ebbed and flowed this one. I checked the score early on and Port were well up there, looking like they were going to steamroll the Pies, and checked it later on and Collingwood beat them by fucking 42 points.
The only thing that could make a sour night for the Crows a little better is when their rivals lose the very next game.
The Prison Bar Cup, they called this one.
The Prison Bar Cup.
But yeah, Port lost by 42. They were 81. They kicked 12 and 9. And Collingwood, 123. Big score. 17 and 21 behind. Could have fucking smacked them.
Yeah, probably should have smashed them. Hey?
Yeah, wow.
I love when a scoreline ends 1-2-3. It's a bit of numerology there.
Good stuff for Jelly.
We'll go through the goal scorers. Lipinski, 4.
Yeah.
It's a big game for him. 16 touches. Forward. Brody 3. Brody Majacek 3. Mitch Georgiadis coming back from his knee recos looked very good.
He's looked good, hasn't he? Yeah. Schultzy finding his groove. 2 goals. Hoskin Elliott, how's he getting to the team? Don't know, but he keeps pulling these out of the bag.
And the big Cox, 2 goals as well. He's been a bit quiet, so that's good to get himself back into form.
Is this just another year of that for Port Adelaide where they can't win outside of Adelaide?
Oh, I don't think it's outside of Adelaide. They have won a couple of games outside of Adelaide this year already. I think it is that they struggle against the top 4 teams, or the top 8 teams even. So, yeah.
Going to have to go over that if they're going to do anything.
The Port Adelaide Pretenders.
Yeah, yeah, I agree with you, mate.
All right, mate, let's get into your game.
Yeah, went to this one and was expecting a good game, and I think overall we did get it. It wasn't the result I wanted. Obviously, Giants v Carlton. Giants ended up losing. We kicked 98 points and lost, so it doesn't happen too much. We kicked 15 goals, 8 to Carlton, 17-15, and they got 117 points.
I think, Alex, that's when you'll find where you do lose, is when you kick at 98 points and the other team kicks more than that.
No, I agree, mate. I agree. Yeah. Thank you again for your input, Richelli. this one was, it was really neck and neck for most of the game. But we were uncharacteristically poor with our skills. Lots of fumbles. Yeah, just couldn't quite do it. Toby Green didn't kick a goal. Callum Brown's looked off the pace. And to cap it off, Hogan's been banned for a game and Toby Green's banned for a game. This will come out by the time it's been decided because I think they're both going to appeal. But do you think either of them get off?
Don't know. I didn't see the incidents.
Jesse's like ended up being like a sort of punch or push to the chin of Lewis Young, I think it was. I can't see him getting off. And Toby Green was kind of like the Peter Wright incident, but didn't lead to a severe injury. He sort of was going for a mark and then turned midair when he knew he wasn't going to get it. And he did clean up the other lad with his sort of shoulder. But yeah,
Death.
He played on, so...
Death, taxes, and Toby Green getting suspended, mate.
Yeah, he'd had quite a good record until recently, but yeah, you can't exactly take his good record into account at the tribunal, can you?
Nah.
And one thing I did want to bring up as a result of this one, right? Toby probably misses a week, whatever, but do you think a ban should depend on the severity of an injury? Like, should that be taken into account? If the action's just as bad, like Peter Wright has got, I don't know, did he get 7 weeks?
Nah, it wasn't that much, was it?
It was somewhere around that, because he's going to play, he's free to play next round, so 6 weeks, I think it was, or five, I don't know. He was banned for a few games. He was banned for some time. But yeah, obviously that's based on he cleaned Cunningham up and Cunningham sat out the rest of the game, missed the next week with concussion protocols. Do you think it should impact on the punishment?
Nah, probably not, because I think that's
more luck.
Yeah, I think it's more luck if, you know, someone escapes serious injury. Like,
yeah.
I think you need to sanction the action. You can't sanction the outcome.
Yeah, I agree.
You control the outcome by sanctioning the action. So I think that's completely counterintuitive. So, yep, there's my answer.
I actually do think Toby, I'm obviously a Giants fan and will defend Toby, but I do think he deserved a ban. So can't really defend that. And it's hard to say any different for Jesse. So going to miss them both. We're playing an Anzac Day game at Canberra this week and it's against Brisbane. So two massive outs for us in our forward line.
Can you, this might sound very ignorant, but can you still win the Coleman medal if you are banned? You can, eh?
Yeah, yeah.
It's not like the Brownlow. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, but you can't win those individual, like, Brownlows. I think it's just the Brownlow, actually, isn't it? Oh, you could win the MVP.
Yeah, I think it's just the Brownlow. Yeah, okay.
But yeah, Carlton too good for us, and we deserve to lose. And I think it'd be good for our season to just kickstart it anyway.
Yeah, no,
sometimes
it could be
you
good
need a reset.
I agree. All right, let's move on into what was a fucking shit show of a game.
Yeah, Brisbane v Cats. And you mentioned it earlier, the roof, that's all that needs to be said.
100%. If a roof was on this game, it would have been a perler and Brisbane probably win.
Disappointing. It is shit when you get these matchups that you're looking forward to all week, Geelong unbeaten, Brisbane starting to find their groove, and then it pisses down.
Well, it didn't just piss down, it fucking shat down, mate.
Yeah.
And lightning and wind and it was horrible.
Yeah. Not good.
But Geelong though, just
they played the conditions really well. So I mean, that's a credit to them in itself, isn't it? If you can play the conditions better than the other team, you're probably going to win.
Absolutely. And fucking Geelong look the real deal again, don't they?
They look really good. Yeah, disappointingly good. I thought they were due a rebuild, but it looks like they're just going to bypass that again.
Death, taxes, and Geelong avoiding rebuilds.
How are they so good? Like, how do they never have to start from scratch?
Oh, they've just got brilliant list managers and
fucking crazy.
Just a well-run club. They're fucking cunts. Yeah, it's a bit of a non-event. There wasn't many goals scored in this game. Zorko, though, we spoke about it last week where he's, you know, been thriving half back. He's chucked half forward this game. He's just ping pong ball at the moment, this guy, and he kicked two goals and had 26 disposals in a loss. He was
thriving.
Very good.
Thriving, he is. Stengel was terrific for the Cats.
Yeah, Stengel was great. 2 and 17 touches, and then
love him when he's playing in this form. Like, he's just super confident, and it's good to watch.
Yeah, he's a star. He's a former All Australian. So I love Tyson. Always got a soft spot for him. The former Crow.
The other Saturday night game, which, why the fuck are they putting two games on at the same time? That's a wind up in itself. Big upset that you called, mate. So talk us through it. You were spot on.
Not an upset, mate. I saw this come from a mile away.
You did. Stevie Wonder.
Yeah, I don't know. I've been really impressed with the Eagles all year, in fact.
All year? Wow.
Yeah, look, they started slow, but I like the way they've been going about it. And I think once they sort of gelled a bit, you can see the way the structures are really good and they've got a very good spine.
Mm.
And I think it takes a bit maybe for the younger players to sort of, you know, figure it out around that, get a bit of chemistry. But I could see that it was just starting to fire. And I don't know. I think Freo lack a bit of power going forward. And I think where Eagles are really good is their rebound from defense.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I just saw that as being pivotal, especially in a close game. You know, at Derby, really anything can happen in those games. I don't know. I just thought it could see it happening. I did not think it was going to be by this much, though.
No, they cleaned him up. A miss went out early, which is never going to help Frio's forward line. But yeah, I'd seen positives from Frio all year until this one. So this was a very weird result, which obviously you saw coming. So that foresight was impressive. But yeah, Harley Reid, terrific in this one,
mate. What a machine
he looks.
Not just a good young player, like, he is dominating. He's making seasoned veterans look shit.
Yeah, no, he doesn't look like an 18-year-old or 19. I don't know how old he is out there. And next to Elliot Yeo, how big's he been? Keeping him fit is massive. I did not know the player he was. I don't think he's been without injury trouble any time I've watched AFL. So this is the first time I'm getting to see him look good.
Yeah. Yeah, and that is interesting you say that, because you've probably missed a lot of football when Elliot Yeo was you know, a really good player in a really good Eagles team.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I've heard this and I've heard how good he is and how important he is, and I've just seen a bloke that gets 10, 12 touches and gets an injury. So, like, it's hard to see that. And now I understand why.
Yeah, he's a beast this year. You can see he's fit again. You know, he's dominating in the midfield. He's getting clearances. And I think him playing full-time midfield has really helped. I think last few years he's been sort of half back when he's played, not much midfield time, but he's playing right in there, and he knows how to win the footy, he knows how to use it. He's a star, and another 3 Brownlow votes for him. I think he can push to be up there in the Brownlow if West Coast keep winning.
Absolutely.
That's for sure.
And Waterman looks really good, looks like a proper key forward.
Yeah, he's becoming one of the most dangerous forwards in the league, especially last 2 games suggest. He's kicked 11 in 2 games. So
he looks so Scouse to me. Like, if he started talking in a Scouse accent, right, I would not be surprised. Or Scottish. he's the Scouse Eagle. But yeah, I think I don't want to let the Eagles get away with this, though. They've been shit for a few years, and their list is not much different other than Harley Reid. So it was an effort thing. The list has not changed that much. All this time, it was an effort thing.
No, I disagree with that. I think they've been very, very unlucky with injuries. I think this is the one year where all of their, you know, best players are actually able to get on the park. So I think it's got a lot to do with that.
Yeah, look, I don't think they're as bad as they performed with the list that they had. And I think everyone was a bit too easy on them when they were going through what they have done last few years. Because, yeah, they're not as bad as a North or a Hawthorn. Like the list that they have and how they were performing was not good enough, in my opinion. So
fair enough, mate. Yeah, you're entitled to that opinion. I don't know who they've got next week, but we'll see. We'll see what happens if they can get a win next week.
Away.
Oh, I mean, Gold Coast have not been traveling well. So, yeah, I'm interested to see what Eagles look like after next week.
And Eagles away from home is a much different picture than it is at home.
True.
We'll see. And then Sydney v Gold Coast was the first game on Sunday. Standard win for Sydney.
Yeah, it was.
Gold Coast aren't travelling well either, it must be said. Don't seem to play well away from home, which will come with time and form. But Sydney looked great.
Yeah, and I watched this game and Suns never really looked like they were going to get close. Pretty routine game, I think, for Sydney in the end. Although Sam Flanders, leading disposal player.
Yeah, he's in me super coach. Sorry about that.
He's unreal and he's been very consistent. He looks really good. Goulden had a very slow start to the game and had an unbelievable second half. He got 30 touches. Isaac Heaney,
28 and a goal, just quiet.
Unbelievable. Winning the Brownlow 100% at this point.
Matt Roberts looks so good, so composed at halfback.
He's been very good. Been very good, the South Australian, yeah.
Is he South Aussie?
Yeah, he is.
I thought there was something wrong with him.
Brody Grundy was massive as well for Sydney.
Yeah, he's tall. He is tall.
He was massive in stature.
That's his standout game after I've traded him out of my super coach, so couldn't be happier for him.
That was my mistake.
But he did look absolutely top draw. So if he can play like that every week, they are going to be tough to beat.
Yeah, so Sydney, 17 goals, 810, defeated the Suns, 8-9-57. So 53-point winners there. Let's move on to the final game of the round. And that was
the Battle of the Wooden Spoons.
The Spoon Battle, which I thought would be a bit closer, but it wasn't. Hawks devoured the Kangaroos, who just, in fact, Tasmania should replace them in the league. That's what I want to see. Fuck Kangaroos, honestly.
I have been an advocate for the Kangaroos and I feel like I have a very soft spot for them. And this week really pissed me off. I watched the game because I was optimistic. I tipped North. They let me down. Big time they let me down. They didn't show up. They didn't want to show up. They looked awful, mate.
10 goals, 8, 68 to 17 goals, 11, 113.
It's hard in a game, to defend them after that.
In a game where you genuinely had a chance to win.
But that's what, if you can't get up for that, you don't deserve to play professional sport. The one
game
a season that you go, we can probably beat these today, lads.
Yeah. North Melbourne Devils. Get the merger.
It's really disappointing. Literally, Hawks would go forward or inside 50, open mark, goal. I've never seen an AFL team defend as badly as the Kangaroos do, and I just don't know if Clarkson's got it in him to fix it.
I don't think anyone does.
Put
Pep Guardiola there. He won't help. Do you know what I mean?
I'd have gone for Guardiola. I don't know, because if you make replacements, they swing changes. If your list is shit, then your list is shit. Like, you can't magically make good defenders appear on your list, can you?
No, 100%, and that's what I mean. I don't think it's Clarkson's fault at all.
No,
I think they knew that. Clarkson knew that. I think he just wanted to get back into a role, and I think they sort of wanted to elevate the status. That's why he's there. But yeah,
how long does he hang around before he calls it a day, or they give him the boot? They had more promising signs under Noble than they've had under Clarkson so far.
Yeah.
And it's been a checkered like time at North. He's not been smooth sailing. Like, he had time away from the game, and Brett Ratton did it for a bit. This is only his first proper season in charge now, but it doesn't look good.
No, it doesn't. And look, yeah, the only way to summarize it is, if your toast is burnt, don't matter how good the butter is on top, do you know what I mean? Your toast is burnt.
No, but so, you know when your toast burnt, have you ever scraped the burn off with a knife? That's quite a handy little tool.
Yeah, well, I think they're
but you know what, mate? Tool. That takes time. And that's what the North Gangers
need.
That does
take time. Wow, what a little adage we've got here, a little metaphor. That's a good one.
Mate. Sorry about that. Kill me, Edgar Allan Poe.
All right, Edgar, let's move on.
Great signs for Hawks, though, by the way.
Yeah. One. No, really good. Actually, before we go out, we should just mention Jai Newcomb and Connor Nash had great games. Both got 32 touches each. And Dylan Moore kicked fucking 4 goals. He looks very good when he gets gone.
He does. And he's co-captain, is he? I saw they'd gone back to the drawing board and were doing a bit like wrestling in the week and stuff. Just back to basics and maybe fucking North need to do that.
Maybe. Yeah. Jack Ginnivan scored 2 as well. He's settling in his new club. But yeah, good on the Hawks. I like the Hawks. So no issues there with them. Fuck the Kangaroos. All right, mate. You got a stat quiz for us?
I do, mate. I do. Should we get straight into it? Have you got your thinking cap on?
Straight into it, got my thinking cap on, and I've got the AFL stats right here in case.
Touches, mate. Who had the most disposals? It was 2 players joint on the same number. So if you can give me...
Yes, I believe it was Bailey Dale is one of them.
Yes, correct. And who was he level with, mate, for an extra point?
Fuck. What game was it?
It was the Giants game.
It's Cripps.
Cripper. That is correct, mate. That is correct.
Fucking oath.
Meters gained. I reckon you'll get this one too. Who had the most meters gained? Correct. 867.
Fucking
oath. Wow. Ground ball gets with 14.
Oh, you've mixed this one in.
Ground ball gets. Do we have a resident expert join us today or no?
We're going to see, but we'll do that after this. Yeah. Ground ball gets. Surely that was in the fucking Geelong Brisbane game.
It was not. It was in the Port Collingwood game.
Ooh. Butters?
No, Nick Dacos, mate. Nicky Dakes. 14 he had. Very nice. Good. Let me have a look. What else we got? Is there a stat you'd like to hear?
No, not really. I'm kind of over this fucking quiz.
Centre bounce attendances, mate. You're 29. One more than the next.
Took Miller.
Sammy Walsh. He's come in and he's hit the ground running. Who had the most clearances on that note? 13. He's rolled back the clock. Oh, 2. They were joint. 13.
It was Fife was one of them.
Correct.
And the other one think possessions. The other one was Cripps.
It was Cripper. Well done, mate. Very well done. And my favourite of all, Clangers. Who had the most Clangers with 9?
Give me a day the game was on.
Saturday.
Fuck.
Saturday, and it was a game I was at.
Okay. Was it O'Halloran?
Thomas Green.
Tom Green.
Thomas Green, yeah. Who had the most goals, mate?
Jakey Waterman.
No, Aaron.
Oh, no, it wasn't. Oh, yeah, he's got 6. Fuck.
And my favourite stat of all, who had the most score launches?
Oh, this fucking
which
we stat.
Have no idea means.
No idea. I'm
8
not even
score launches. Nicky Dacos, of course. How did you not know?
Oh, yeah. Easy. Loves a score launch, that bloke.
That is my quiz. Thank you for listening. Thank you for playing.
No worries at all, mate. Now, again, we had no idea what score launches meant last week. We had no idea really what clangers meant. So Let's try again with our resident stat man and see if he can explain to us what these are.
Get him on. Ronnie O'Sullivan himself. Oh, that sounds like a Facebook ring, mate. You've not got his number.
I don't actually have his number.
He must like you. It sounds like he's dodging us at this point, doesn't it?
I'm going to give him a big clanger up the old fucking
bum. He might be filming The Lovely Bones too.
What?
He does look like that fella.
Yeah, well, our listeners will have no idea if he does or not.
Think The Lovely Bones too, but matched with Ronnie O'Sullivan, the snooker player.
All right, we're going to have to wait another week to find out what score launches and clangers up.
Well, let's get into tipping then, mate. If nothing else, let's do tips.
Let's do it, mate. Give us the old tally. How are we looking? Don't tell me unfucking believable still on top.
I'll tell you what. Dana with a team name is D's. And D's. She got 6 last round.
Whoa, that's a big score for that round.
Back to a few smokies, because this was a tough round to pick, and that has boosted her, score launched her up the table.
Has absolutely no idea about the game. I can't believe she's got 6 right.
Yeah, I feel pretty bad about myself. I got 2 right this week, so Dana's absolutely thumped me. But yes, Dana was our expert tipper this week. And so we've still got Haskalai got 5, so he was 2nd, and that has got him back to top spot with 35 correct. Unfucking believable, got 2 right, so get a big dog up, yeah.
Get a dog up, yeah. That's not unfucking believable.
Leppy with 4 correct, very nice. And yeah, I got 2, so I'm right down the bottom, and I'm close to auto-tipping. Close to auto-tipping in this group. But I won't this week. Let's give it another run and I'll try and get some back. So Richmond at the MCG playing Melbourne pre-Anzac Day. Anzac Day Eve. We got Wednesday night footy. It's a fucking treat for us this time of year, isn't it? Who you got, mate?
It is. Say those 2 teams again.
Richmond v Melbourne. I'll be going the D's. Not for Dana's in joke, but because they're a good team. I'm going D's by 31.
Yeah, I was thinking who played the bye last week, but they both did, so I don't think it really matters. Yeah,
it
so
cancels it out.
Yeah, I'm going to go Melbourne.
Yes, cool. Me too.
Yes.
Anzac Day, this is coming out on Anzac Day, an absolute special. Have your biscuits and watch your game. Essendon v Collingwood, you're in for a thrilling contest. And a double header of Anzac Day games. Giants v Brisbane later on as well. What a treat, honestly. For the boys in Gallipool, who won't sadly get to watch this one, that's what they'd want, a double header to remember them.
Yeah, I believe that is why they fought that war.
Was
specifically for Collingwood and Essendon to commemorate them.
Absolutely.
Yeah, mate.
Any upset here? Collingwood.
I don't know.
Good?
I really feel like Collingwood have found their juice, so I reckon they'll get the job done.
I'm at the stage of the season where I kind of have to back a few Smokies to try and get one back, so I'm going to go Essendon in this one.
Ooh, well, I don't mind that, mate. Just to make it a bit more interesting.
Giants v Brisbane. Canberra, spiritual home. No Toby Green or Jesse Hogan unless miracles happen at the tribunal. Who you got, mate?
Oh, yeah, you can't tip against Giants at their spiritual home. I'm gonna back the Giants.
Really? Wow, okay. Interesting. Do you think the AFL missed a trick here? We play Sydney next week. Surely, if you went from Essendon Collingwood into Sydney v Giants at the SCG, what a day of footy.
I don't know what you mean. I think this will still be a good game too.
No, but like Sydney v Giants, the way the season we're both having, that would be a fucking great contest, like for a big game.
Well, it is going to be a great contest next week.
Oh, mate.
How are they going to predict that, you fucking Muppet?
What do you mean? They set the round up. Like
they had this set up ages ago.
But it would have been cool anyway to have a Sydney derby on Anzac Day. Like if you're going to add a second game.
Now I understand your angle. I thought you meant based on how the teams are going. They could not have done that preemptively. Yeah, okay. Yeah, fair enough.
It's what the boys in Gallipoli would have wanted again. I'm actually going with the Lions on this one, and it pains me to say that, but it's what I'm going with.
$1.90 favourites the Lions, though. It's a bit strange, but anyway.
More Friday night footy in Adelaide. They're getting a lot of the spotlight over there in the City of Churches. Port v Saints. Port very hard to tip against at home. Saints.
Yeah, I think Port will get the job done on Garner land.
I'll go with you on that. Go with that. And Tassie... We've got the Crowies taking on North. The Wooden Spoon Cup. Surely Crowies get another one on the board here.
We don't play well in Tassie. We haven't been playing well all season.
I'll tell you who else doesn't play well in general. North.
Yeah, well, but North, that's how bad we've been, right? And we're still going to cream this mob. That's how bad they are.
Yeah, fair play. Cats v Carlton, what a game that is at the G. Saturday afternoon. Oh.
I'm going the Blues.
Going the Blue Baggers. Wow. Too strong for the Geelong Cats.
I think their midfield is way too strong for Cats.
I'm going with you, mate. I'm all about it. You've talked me into it. Up the Baggers.
Baggers.
Frio v Western Bulldogs. At Optus Stadium. Fucking hell, that's a tough one to pick.
That is a tough one. You want Frio to have a bounce back. I hate tipping Bulldogs.
I'm going the Dogs.
They're the hardest.
Yeah, doing it.
I'm going to go the Dogs again because surely they have to back up a run. They can't be too hot and cold.
If you go the Doggers, you're a pervert, but you also tip both teams. Doggers. Yeah.
Gold Coast versus Eagles.
Gold Coast Eagles. Well, you worked miracles last week with the Eagles, mate. So what have you got? Sticking with them? I'll be going Suns.
Yeah, this is much harder to tip them this week in the Gold Coast. I think Gold Coast do have a good functioning forward line. I'm going to go Gold Coast.
Oh, me too, mate. Gold Coast it is, and West Coast to get back to losing ways. And
I'd love to see him win, though.
Oh, good on you, mate. Finally, Hawks v Sydney at the MCG to round out round 7. Surely Sydney get it done.
Yeah, I do like Hawks at home. They usually cause a few hassles to interstate teams there, but... Yeah, I think Sydney look fucking phenomenal. The Lizard is unbelievable. I think he'll have a big game.
There you go.
Loves playing at the G.
He's warm-blooded, so let's hope it's a warm day for him down in Melbourne. That's it. That's it for the round. That's it for the week. Let me tell you about that anagram that I gave you earlier, mate. Have you had good think about it? Ear, hid, rely. Was the word
ear hid rely, and yep.
This was an
relying.
Easy one, I think.
He is relying on that stiff arm, isn't he?
He is, and he's got it, mate. It is. Go on,
Harley Stiff Arm King Reed.
Fucking long name. Is that his middle name?
Yeah, it is.
Stiffler, they call him. Stiffy.
Stiffy Johncock. Shout out, played for the Crows.
Did he?
Yeah, as a player, Graham Johncock, his nickname was Stiffy.
You know who didn't play for the Crows?
Go on, mate.
Puopolo.
No, he didn't. Fun fact, I watched him live on the weekend. He played against my footy team.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, he did. Played for Hope Valley, and they played against my team, Seton Ramblers. And
did they have much hope after the game?
No, we pumped them 13 goals.
That is a way to do him. So are you looking like you're going to break back into the side once the hammies? How is the hammy? Tell us first up.
Well, first, I just want to say what a specimen Paul Popolo is. I think the bloke's like 38, 39.
They breed him tough in Greece.
He is a Greek god, mate. He's chiseled from stone, that bloke. And he's about 5'5", but just has the biggest legs I've ever seen in my life.
He's 2 inches taller than you.
My hamstring, mate, update on that.
A string update.
We've got an Anzac game this Thursday. I don't think I'll quite get up for that, but I could be in the fold for selection week after. Fingers crossed.
You know, when I do my minute silence, I won't be thinking about the boys in Gallipoli. I'll be thinking about you and your hammy, mate, because I'd have loved to see you get up this week.
Yeah, thanks, man. I think all the attention should be turned to me and my woes, and we should, forget about likes war anyway.
How are the threes looking without you, mate?